Everyone, good morning. Welcome to the Teach Better Today morning show, where the Teach Better team gets to join you live every single morning, Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Eastern. We have an incredible guest. Guys, I know she is one of y'all's favorites. I was just talking before we went live. I think I've interviewed her somewhere between 8 to 27 times. And every single time is fun. All of you continue to share your appreciation for having Lindsay Titus in our community. We'll be right back to dive right in. Everyone, good morning. Hey, Lindsay, thank you for joining us for the Morning Today show.
Hey, how are you?
I am good. And you, I told you this before we clicked the live button. I don't even care. I'm so excited to talk with you because while this will be a great interview, I really just want to catch up with you. Our community constantly talks about you as a person, you and your resources. I know you have been super active in so many different like bubbles within the Teach Better family. I just knew this was going to be a good time. So I very much appreciate you making the time for it.
Oh, absolutely. No, I'm so, so excited. Anytime I get to spend time with you or, I mean, of course, anybody from Teach Better, but of course, you know, you're one of my faves. So I'm excited to dive in this morning.
Oh, friends, if you do not know Lindsay Titus, just know that this is going to be the day that you now have a new like fan, like somebody you're going to fangirl over. Katie Miglin and I always talk about how we both drink the Lindsay Titus juice. We love that, Lindsay, and I know you're going to, I'm going to have you introduce yourself, but your approach, your resources, you keep us in the right mindset. And I know there's so many people that do that work. You have a very special place in the Teach Better family for the work that you do. So if we have new community members here, maybe new members of the Teach Better family who haven't seen your work, your speaking, your resources, will you mind telling us a little bit about who you are, what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. So hey, everybody, Lindsay Titus. I am in Rochester, New York, and I'm an educator at heart. And I love that term because I really feel like it encompasses kind of everything that I do on a daily basis. But within the school setting, I am a behavior specialist. So I work with students and staff kindergarten through this year through ninth grade. But really, my position can go all the way up to seniors. It is a K-12 district position. So I really help. I like to use the term behavior coach. So really similar to maybe an ELA or a math coach, I do that with behavior. So I'm doing that all the time, it seems right now. It is a very different year this year, and that's okay. But outside of that, I am the founder of Define University, Define You, where I help educators do just that. Find and define who they are both inside and outside of the classroom. And that helps me. I'm actually going through my own kind of redefining me right now. And so I love that I get to practice what I preach, both at home and at work.
Well, and Lindsay, I can just start off this dialogue by saying that I know I speak for all the Teach Better family members. We love that you do practice what you preach, and you have done that ever since I've met you in so many different ways. But you know, I myself have gone through so much change in my own personal journey, my professional journey, and your insights have helped me in both. And that's what I really, really appreciate. You also tackle a topic that makes people really uncomfortable. I mean, educators want to have the best behavior strategies possible for their students. And typically I'm saying, because myself included, I only seek help when I've like exhausted all of my options. And I just like, I'm like so frustrated. Really, frustration has taken over every part of the relationship with a student that might be having a behavior that I want to change. And I love that you're so driven to have that coaching model. This isn't about getting the kid out of your classroom. This isn't about filing the right paperwork or, you know, moving him to a different class or, you know, you're really looking at this as a growth mentality. And I've always valued that about you.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And it's funny because I didn't start out that, right? I started out, you know, trial and error myself. I started out in the classroom figuring out what's working, what's not. Certain things that maybe were working didn't feel good to me as a teacher. So I was like, I don't really want to use this strategy. I don't feel good using it. And that has really stuck with me as I've learned all that I've learned and continue to learn and experience. And so, you know, when I'm coaching somebody on behavior, it's their behavior first before we even dive into a student's behavior. And that sometimes makes people like put up that wall and they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, I just want you to tell me what to do. And I'm like, I can't, because I'm not you and I'm not the teacher of the classroom. So I can't tell you what to do, but I can coach you in how to use your environment, how to use your experience, and how to use who you are to make that best, you know, option, that best step, next step in that moment.
And it's so, I'm relating this in lamest terms for all of you that are already like soaking all this up. This is my lame comparison. I just hired a dog trainer for my dogs because they are, you know, like dogs and they have terrible habits. I'm like, oh, I'll get a dog trainer. Of course, me stupidly, I'm like, come on in, fix my dogs. And really she's like, to be honest, I coach humans on how to coach their dog. She's like, it starts with you. And I'm like, bummer, I always forget about that. It does start with me.
Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's a different way to think about it. It's an internal, it's an inside out model versus an outside in model. And so traditionally we see a lot of outside in models, right? That's what we see on social media. We see the behavior plans to use. We see the token boards, we see the point systems, and all of those have a place. But if you're choosing them because somebody else has chosen them, then you know where we end up. We end up in Shouldville and we do something because we think we should, not because it's actually what we need or I need in my classroom. And so that's why it's so important that we have to know how we are reacting or responding so that we can continue to connect both with ourselves as well as our students. We hear so much about relationships with our students, which 100% totally agree with, but I'm going to prioritize building the relationship you have with yourself. That's your priority. And then you can build solid relationships with anybody else, staff, students, parents, administrators, you name it.
Well, friends, I am so excited for all of you to continue this conversation. And in the comments, as we continue to dive into Lindsay's ideas, obviously during our team talk segment, we're going to dive into this behavior support. And we have to talk about Shouldville, because that is going to be something that if you are new to the Teach Better community, you're going to hear it 9 more times. And if you've been wondering what that is, here is our Shouldville queen. And we are excited to talk about that. But before we get into the team talk segment, Lindsay, I also want to give you a shout out that you probably won the trophy within the last few years that you are involved in almost every single bubble of the Teach Better family. Like, she has blogged for the Teach Better team. She had a podcast with the podcast network, joined our admin mastermind. You're on our speakers network. So friends, Lindsay is one of those very few special educators that you can actually book through the Teach Better team and have her at your school to coach and work and keynote and do all those great things with your staff. What am I missing? You've been an ambassador. You've been everything. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I appreciate, Teach Better was there for me and continues to be, but definitely in a time where I felt lost and isolated and didn't know, right, through the pandemic. And I, at that point, was the only behavior specialist in my district. So it's not that I really could reach out to, you know, people or connect. And that's where I found the team. And I'm excited because, like I mentioned earlier, this year has been crazy. So I have not been as connected. But that's what I love about the team, is that whether it's I'm in everything or I'm just like, hey, guys, I'm still here, but I'm just trying to get my head above water. I'll be back, I promise. There's complete trust there. And I'm excited to start diving back into things now that I have a system going. But that's just what's really cool, I think, about the team and all the support that you guys continue to give educators, you know, across the world.
Yeah, no, we are happy to get Lindsay like once a year, once a day. Sign me up for whatever makes sense for your schedule. I also did miss our edupreneur group. Lindsay, you have been huge in that crew, which is a really special community. For those of you who maybe joined this Teach Better family via a educator connection, that is one of the few areas that we support educators with, but really educators that have other goals outside of education. Maybe they have a side hustle they're working on. Maybe they want to get into speaking or consulting. And that community, I know you've been a part of it kind of from the beginning of its inception. And I know that that's a group that's really grown close together from what I understand.
Yeah, it's definitely fun. It's, you know, low pressure because you really, you get what you put into a certain extent. Like I'm more quiet. I like to listen. I like to, you know, just kind of hear and really like be there in the moment. And then other people bring really amazing questions and really, you know, they're at different parts in their business. And so we all learn alongside one another, even though we're all kind of at really different points in our business, which is really cool because we've seen each other grow. We celebrate with one another, we problem solve. And when you're trying to build this thing outside of, you know, what you do all day, every day, it can be overwhelming. And it's, you know, having a group like that or a community like that is one way where it breaks it down for you and it makes it less overwhelming. Cause you know, like, I know if I'm like stressing about something, I'm like, well, Thursday night, I can bring it up. Or I can go into a circle and drop my questions and they'll be answered. And that's just a really cool feeling to know, like, you're not alone, even if you maybe feel like that at, you know, at times.
Yeah. For those of you who may not be exposed to this side of the Teach Better team very often, just really quick, there are like three different tiers of support in this community. One is a newsletter, which is a super easy free sign up. You can get tips and tricks. The next is this incredible community of creators that come together. And then the other element is what you mentioned on Thursday night, which is a mastermind, some coaching and really kind of diving into the work. Essentially, if you're an educator that has aspirations to sell resources online, create an online course, become a book publisher, like who knows what your aspirations are, this might actually be a cool place for you to talk shop with educators, not always about education, which is kind of fun. So, Lindsay, I want to transition here into our team talk because we got to get to Shouldville and we got to give our viewers something to think through as they head into their day. So you ready to transition?
Let's do it.
We'll be right back. We are back for our Teach Better Today morning show as we head into our team talk with the one and only Lindsay Titus. I'm sure you can already get a vibe if this is your first time meeting Lindsay. She is good people. She has ideas, and this conversation cannot end here. I'm going to give you everywhere you can connect with her at the end of this episode. Her website is full of resources, and she is extremely approachable to DM and talk shop with. Her coaching is amazing. People swear by it. But we are getting into some insight for all of you. So Lindsay, before we get into, I don't know, maybe what you want to talk about, I have to bring up Shouldville because Shouldville has changed my life. And I probably think of you and think of Shouldville, I'm going to say at least once a week. And I think we've been connected for what, 3 years at least. So I'm not trying to put you up on a pedestal, but you are like very, very important in my life. Can you tell us about Shouldville?
Yes. No, I appreciate it. And I love Shouldville because it's something I think we experience as educators, but also in our day-to-day lives. I was just with my brother and sister-in-law and we were just chatting in the car and my brother said something to the effect of like, oh, when we get home, I should do something. And my sister-in-law like hits him and is like, nope, that's Shouldville. Like make a decision. And I just start laughing. I'm like, all right, this is amazing.
It sticks. It's catchy. It sticks. It works so many different places. Okay. Let's pretend somebody's popping in and they know nothing about it. I mean, it's kind of self-explanatory, but what's your spiel?
Yeah. So Shouldville is a place we go when we say things like I should. It could also be like, I have to, I need to. And the challenge with those types of kind of sentence starters is they're from somebody else's perspective. So should is comes from a feeling of I need to do something so somebody thinks I'm worthy, or somebody thinks highly of me, or I feel good about myself because I did it. And again, that's an outside in approach. And so if I'm going to do something, right, I should make my bulletin boards this way because that's what I saw on social media. If you don't like it and you look at it every day, or if it doesn't suit the needs of your students who are experiencing every day, you're not going to get the output that you're looking for, which means you're going to be less likely to put in some effort down the road. So Shouldville is a place I call because I lived in Shouldville for years. As a first, second, third year teacher, I was, everything was, well, that's what they're doing down the hall. I should try that. That's what worked for them. I should do it. But you start to like feel resentment almost because it doesn't work because it's that outside in. And so I made it this catchphrase of, are you in Shouldville? And I still honor that. Sometimes I visit there. But we can leave Shouldville by changing that to, what are you choosing? What do you love? And what is it just you desire, right? Like, so that's your inside out approach. What are you choosing? Own it, stand behind it. And then that note, that way you're making a decision that comes from you, not from somebody else.
I cannot tell you how powerful this has been for me. And I love hearing that it's powerful for other people. I know you do this so much, so frequently, but the choice that you have to choose to own a decision, even though you're probably doing the exact same things you would have done in Shouldville, you're still going to do it maybe the same way. It really puts me in a mindset that I feel, I mean, empowered versus obligated, you know, like empowered versus, you know, like grimy, you know, I really, it's a big thing that I have worked on and continue to work on because I love the approach of owning the things that are happening in my world and knowing that I have control over them.
Yes. And that's really what it comes down to, right? So often we feel just as educators, well, I don't have control, right? I'm being told what curriculum, I'm being told what, you know, school-wide program to use. I'm being told when to do this, how to do this. And I can choose to stay in that mindset. And then I'm not going to feel like how I want to feel and how I want to embody. And what I've learned over the last, you know, few years is if I'm thinking it and feeling it, that's where my actions are gonna take me. And so if my thoughts and my feelings are anchored in should, I'm not gonna take the action that I want to take. But when I feel empowered to, okay, how can I change the way I'm thinking about this? How can I change the way that I'm feeling about this? My actions, to your point, might be the same, but they're so drastically different because who you are is drastically different. And that's my big thing. That's why my companies define you. I want you to define yourself on your terms, not by who you think you need to be appreciated or loved or validated from other people. That comes from within your heart. And then you share it out to everybody versus needing it to like be who you want to be.
I want to encourage everyone here this morning, as you're headed into the day ahead, whether it be in your personal life or your professional life, to think about the Shouldville mentality. I know Lindsay has so many things that she has given insight on, and we'll get into more even here during the show, but my little challenge to all of you would be thinking through the Shouldville mentality as you head into your day, because Lindsay, I know I started really thinking about it professionally. I probably use it more in my personal life now more than ever, and I love the ability to transition from one responsibility to the other. In addition to Shouldville, there's obviously a lot of things that you support educators with. If you had one, you know, like soapbox moment, one thing that you think every educator should really think through or take hold of, especially, you know, wrapping up November, headed into December, and hopefully a nice relaxing break ahead. Obviously, behavior is always something that's coming up, especially during this time right before a break. We're all tired. What do you want to share with our community here?
Yeah, so there's two things that come to mind, and they're very similar. And so taking a values approach is key. And so what I mean by that, what is valuable to you? Like, what are your values, right? Is it honesty? Is it productivity? Is it fun? Is it humor, right? So really spending some time to identify what is valuable to you? Because if we spend a lot of our time doing things that don't hold value to us, again, we don't feel good. We don't feel like we want to feel. And then when we have those values, so for me, two that come to mind immediately are authenticity and fun and excitement, passion, right? Like I want to be passionate about what I'm doing and I want it to be real for me. Now, if I want to go and make some change, or maybe within your classroom, you're like, whew, these behaviors are getting a little rough. When we're thinking about behavior change, remember it's an inside out approach. But in addition to that, I want you to keep it small, simple, and strategic. So small means the change you're going to make, you can do in 30 to 60 seconds, which means right now you could decide what it's going to be. Simple means you don't have to go buy a thing. You don't have to go get materials. I don't need you to make anything. You're going to use what you already have. And then strategy is where you bring in that value base. It's got to align to you as the educator in some way, shape, or form. Here's a really simple example outside the classroom. I mentioned before, I'm trying to get myself back. I'm redefining, like, excuses have taken over. We're not having it anymore. So right now, the small, simple, strategic things I'm doing is drinking more water and doing my skincare. Like, it seems so silly, but I have a water bottle. I have water. Great. Check, check, check. And health is important, right? So, okay, boom. And then skincare, again, I have it already. I've already spent the money on it. And it makes me feel better. Like, it makes me feel better when my skin is better. So let's start there. I'm not going to start with something that's going to take me a long time, that's going to overwhelm me. I'm going to start small, simple, and strategic. So when you're thinking about your classroom, same thing. Keep it small, keep it simple, and align it to you.
I think that is the best reminder for us as we get into this busy season. I know there's so many busy seasons for educators, but this is going to be applicable to our personal lives, as your example shared, and our professional lives. A lot of educators tell me now that they've used everything in their toolbox. They don't know what else to do. Nothing's working. And this mindset of these three S's allows us to either reformat some of the tools maybe we tried in a different mindset, and also start to seek kind of the progression that needs to happen, right? Progress and growth doesn't happen overnight, but this at least makes it feel achievable. We're not going to avoid it because we already have all the tools and resources to be successful in this area. I think this is a great reminder for us. And it actually puts educators through a great practice of figuring out those values prior to then being able to implement these small changes.
Yeah. And just a reminder, again, we don't, especially right now, this time of year, we don't want to add anything new. I mean, I have yet to meet educators like, yes, please give me brand new strategies, new things to learn, right? Like, and at the end of the day, we don't need new. We need to go back to the basics, because the basics are what work. But what happens is when our mind is overwhelmed, we aren't implementing them to the way that we want to, or to the way that we know that they maybe, that's where we're going to get the biggest bang for our buck, so to speak. And again, when it comes to behavior, so often the people I'm coaching want to know, okay, this happened, what do I do? And I'm like, there's only so much we can do after. We're really limited after. It's when I want to start thinking proactively to how am I going to reduce the likelihood it needs to even happen in the future. Because if I'm so focused on stopping it, that's me trying to focus on controlling somebody else. And I can't do that. I can't control anyone else. I can't control behavior. I, as a behavior coach, don't have a magic wand to say, okay, behavior, stop. What it is I have is I can see what's leading up to it. So we make those tweaks there and we put our energy somewhere else. And the behaviors naturally go down over time because they don't need to. There's no purpose to it anymore. So if you're feeling that, if you're feeling frustrated, you're feeling stuck, pause, give yourself grace. So I always say, give yourself time, space, and grace. You are human. Allow yourself to be human, but then start thinking, what is it I could be doing ahead of time? What is it that I could do to reduce the likelihood that that behavior that is serving a purpose for the kid doesn't even need to happen anymore? And again, this is what, you know, I go into with coaching or with, you know, my programs and things like that. But even just that little piece, if you pause and kind of think through it, I know you can come up with it, because go back to the basics, go back to what you did that first week of school, and then start doing those things again, because they worked. Now we just have to kind of reignite, you know, that piece.
That's such an interesting reflection point. I am like embarrassed. I'm so like in awe of everything that you just shared, because you're right. As the school year progresses, we go from being proactive to a lot of reactive choices. And you're right. Every behavior meeting I'm in as a teacher, when I'm like, oh, Bella is acting up in my class, I'm like, what are all you guys doing to be reactive to this? And I love the mindset of taking the time and space to give yourself grace. I love the reminder that we're all human, and then having the ability to reflect and say, what can I be doing before all of this happens to stop the behavior? Such good reminders for today, Lindsay. Before we wrap up, you have to share where our community can connect with you, because I know you have so many resources out there. You're always willing to take direct messages from people. Obviously, you're in our speakers network. You go and do coaching outside of your normal day-to-day job all the time. So tell us all the things. Where can we stay connected?
Yeah, absolutely. So all of the resources and things are housed at defineuniversity.com, which university is spelled Y-O-U. And then I'm most active on Facebook and Instagram. So Facebook is just me, just my name. And Instagram is Lindsay Titus EDU. So yes, as Ray said, I love connecting with people, you know, so please reach out. I'm happy to help, happy to share resources that I have, because my goal is to really help people redefine behavior management so that it works for them.
Amazing. Amazing. Lindsay, you never disappoint, but thank you again for joining the show. I love, love listening to you speak. This is why I could just sit in a audience for hours and just soak up all the goodness. I really appreciate you.
Of course. Thank you so much. I've had a blast.
Bye guys. I hope you have an amazing day. And of course, reach out if you have any concerns. Bye friends. Hey, Teach Better community, thank you so much for joining the Teach Better Today morning show every single weekday at 7 a.m. Eastern. We have so many resources for you outside of this live stream at teachbetter.com, including blogs, podcasts, and professional development that will bring our team to your school. Wherever you are listening from this morning, please make sure you are sharing and celebrating the incredible educators in this world. And hey, if you are listening over on a podcast to Teach Better Talk, we would love a 5-star review. The comments are always so entertaining. We'll see you tomorrow.